The reading this morning is from 2 Kings chapter 4, and for those following in the pew Bibles, it's on page 371. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a little oil." Elisha said, "Go round and ask all your neighbours for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." She left him and afterwards shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left."
Thank you, Steve. Well, I'm going to welcome John to come up here now. Come up here now, and I can pray with you. And John is going to share with us about the work of Safe Families for Children, and will no doubt bring the good news as well. And I think he may even get Matt up here before he's
definitely
finished. Is that right? So let's just pray for John. Father, we thank you for John, who's come to share with us this morning. We pray that you would give him an eloquence which comes from your anointing, for we want to hear your word for us this morning. And we pray that you will make us receptive, not just receptive, but ready to obey too. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Thank you. In my enthusiasm to get up to speak, I left my timer. And out of reverence and respect for you all, it'll be much better if I've got it running. Now, can I say, I'm a little emotional this morning. I had a really big day yesterday. Three key things happened to me. One, my eldest son moved out of the family home. It's the first one to leave the nest. My daughter is getting married in 3 weeks, and she had her first of a series of hen events happening yesterday. So I was doing a bit of taxiing for that. But probably most dramatic of all, I went to a garden centre for afternoon tea. I know that doesn't sound too dramatic, but what happened was there was a little jar of jam, and when I'd spread it onto my scone and that, I thought, you know what, that jar's just too good to throw away. So I actually put it in my pocket and brought it away with me. And I thought, what has become of me that I get to my age and I start to collect jars of jam? Empty in case they come in for something because they're too good to throw away. I don't know if you've hit a stage like that. I'm going to explain briefly the journey that got me to there, and it started in church. Because sometimes in church, we come and we expect to hear from God, but sometimes, if we're honest, we don't expect it to make that much of a difference, do we? About 5 years ago, I was sat in church and I heard a message. And it was really speaking to me, but I thought I was safe. I thought, do you know what? My wife and my kids are going to save me. Because the pastor said in the message, we're looking for a family to go and move to Tanzania. And I felt a bit of a stir, but I thought, I'm totally safe. Because to be honest with you, the most dangerous thing my wife had done previously to this was go around Sainsbury's without a list. And I thought, if that fails, I've got two teenagers, as they were at the time, with us, and they're not going to be interested. And do you know what? We sat in different places in the congregation, and at the end, we got into the car, and I said, "So what do you think about that?" And my wife said, "Do you know what? I felt this, like, real stirring inside." I think, "No, come on, Abby, come on, you've got friends. You don't want to go." And she said, "Do you know what? I really felt that," and I thought, "I would, Jimmy. There's no way he'll go if there's not, like, Xbox Live." And he said, "You know, I felt this stirring as well. And so we ended up moving, cut a long story short, we ended up moving from Gateshead to a place called Mwanza in Tanzania. And that began, for me, my safe family's journey in many ways, because I felt, one, I'd sat in church and I decided I was going to take something away. And I just want to be upfront and bold right from the start. I'm going to ask some of you to be involved. I'm not going to tell you who it is, because it's probably you. I can look around and I can't think of any reasons why any of you can't be involved. I just want you to have an openness in your spirit about that. Is that okay? So, if we could have the first slide. This was a view from our house when we got to Africa. And do you know what? We felt a bit isolated. And the preparation was continuing, because in Safe Families for Children, the vast majority of the families that come to us for support, their key problem is not that they're bad parents or they've made stupid choices. It's that they're isolated and they don't have people around that can get alongside when you need help. Now, when we were put into this situation as a small group, we really began to understand isolation in a totally new way. Now, you can see Mwanza is quite a rocky place. It's right on the shores of Lake Victoria. And we thought, do you know what? We need to try and make friends, get connected. But it can be hard breaking through, particularly if you've got a language barrier. Now, some people are gifted in languages, aren't they? Some people are gifted in music, other people are creative, other people are organized. I am not gifted in language, but I thought I'm going to have a try. So we're learning greetings and that. I thought, do you know what? Lots of people seem to scramble around the rocks and things. I'm going to ask people if they'd like to go. Can we go for the next slide? We have all these kind of like rocky outcrops, and we thought, wouldn't it be good to go and explore the Mwamba? So Mwanza is the rock city, the Swahili. You didn't know you were going to learn Swahili this morning, did you? The Swahili word for rock is Mwamba. With a Geordie accent in Swahili, it kind of sounds like another word, which is Mamba. And that is the Swahili word for crocodile. Now, living by the side of the lake as we did, and in a village where people regularly, at least once a month, people were lost while bathing or doing their laundry to crocodile attacks. When we said, hey, who wants to go crocodile climbing? Not many people turned up. And, you know, we take things like just having people that we can talk to for times for granted. In the reading this morning, if we could have the next slide, please. We did talk about neighbours, didn't we? It's a really unusual miracle, I think, in the Bible. I love miracles, like, you know that story in Matthew 17 where Jesus is getting grief about not paying his temple tax, and so he says to one of the disciples, could you please just go and cast a line into the lake, and when you pull in the fish, the first fish you pull in is going to have a coin in, and that'll be enough to pay your tax and mine. Right? Brilliant resolution. Or the children of Israel are like out in the wilderness and there's nowhere they can get food. So do you know what? Manna comes down from heaven. There's some ways that God just brings a solution straight away. But in this case, in the story, the mum's really under pressure through, we suspect, no fault of her own. Her husband dies and she's left, and the only hope that she has, her future, her legacy, are her children. And do you know what? A creditor comes and he wants to rob her of a legacy. I don't know about you, but I get raged when I see like adverts on telly for like Wonga and Amigo loans. And I heard that Wonga have just been penalized for sending out fake letters from non-existent solicitors to try and get that, and charging people for the solicitors' letters as well. I mean, although this was like back in the days of Elisha, and we sang about Elijah, but Elisha wasn't too far behind, the situations and challenges for family were very much the same as some families are facing today. But the solution in this one wasn't just Elisha saying to the widow, why don't you go home and go to this like corner of the room where you haven't been, dig down 6 inches and a little bend to the right, and you'll find a gold bar. I reckon God could have done that. He can get the coin out of a fish, can't he? Make food fall from the sky. But he says, if we could just have the go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask just for a few. What do you think would have happened if the neighbors here had said, oh, I'm really sorry, I can't give you what I've got spare? What would have happened? Would have been a very different end of the story, I think. And what I'm asking you this morning is, what are the empty jars that you've got in the cupboard of your life? We've got families out there who really need your empty jars. That afternoon that you've got where you could maybe, you know, give up on Jeremy Kyle and go and meet somebody for a coffee. That spare room that you've maybe got at home that, you know, you don't want to become like taken over with boxes of things that are too good to throw away. You know, we've got families in this area that are reaching out for help, and they're not wanting complicated things. The kind of situations that we're assisting with are just everyday stuff that you guys would naturally do for one another in church. I was talking with a mum just last week. She'd just moved into the area. She'd had a bit of a complicated situation. There'd been some domestic violence, and she ended up relocating. She got into the house, unpacked. She works. She's got one son. And do you know what? The bin men were coming down the street. And she thought, oh, this is bin day. I've got loads of stuff, as you can imagine, if you've ever moved house. She ran outside and it was raining. Can you imagine rain up here? And she slipped on the patio and broke her ankle. And she was just absolutely in tears. She related to me that when the paramedics were there, who is going to pick up my son from school? How am I going to get him to school? Didn't know anybody. And do you know what? Somebody referred it to us. And we were able to get involved, and we had a local church there, and we got 3 families involved that were able to get alongside and assist, splitting the road. And do you know what? That mum is just absolutely blessed because of that, and the conversations that they're able to have. Because you see, why would you do this for me? We've got another situation where we're able to help. And how I personally found out about Safe Families was through a couple that go to my home group. They'd started volunteering. They'd heard about it at a friend's church they'd been along to. They'd volunteered. And they were hosting 2 little lads whose mum had to go into hospital for a surgery. She didn't have any family in the area. And sort of kept herself to herself, didn't really have any friends that she would trust with the children, but she needed to go in for surgery. Who was going to look after the children? She was terrified they were going to end up in foster care, and then, you know, would she have to jump through all kinds of hoops and deal with the stigma of having children that have been in the care system? But again, we were able to put some volunteers alongside. They took the lads in, had them to stay for just a couple of nights while Mam got over surgery. And the mother was determined to discharge herself at the earliest possible opportunity, but they took the boys in to visit her in the hospital, and she could see that the boys were relaxed, and do you know what? She stayed in hospital for a couple of extra days and got herself sorted out, and then the boys were returned. That's another way that people can get involved, just given that short-term respite. If we could have, if we just move on to the next slide. I notice you guys have got a slogan, growing community, and I love, you know, community itself. It's a group of people, it says in the dictionary, living in the same place or having a particular characteristic in common. But, you know, my language battles weren't always just linked to crocodiles and rocks. I got invited to speak at one of the biggest churches in the city, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to impress people, and I'm going to let them know that I honour them with my Swahili greeting. So I introduced myself, and unfortunately, instead of saying, my name's John, I come from England. The Swahili word for England is Ngerezi. And the Swahili word for prison is Ungerezi. And so I managed to sort of say, hi, I'm just fresh from prison here this morning. And that kind of obviously opened all sorts of doors for me. But, you know, the reason that the words are similar is that in sort of that part of Africa, there wasn't a penal system that involved incarceration. People weren't locked up. You know, the kind of justice was kind of tut, blank, slap, beat, or worse. Yeah, it was very much based on a kind of corporal punishment. The British, as they colonized, brought this idea of locking people up. And so the word for prison became out of the word for England and Britain. It was like the British thing. And so wasn't altogether that. But, you know, community is a word that's made up of a couple of things. Munis, which is gift, and com, which means together in Latin. It's like a gift that we have together, a gift to each other. Often I think we think, because it's a bit like common and it's a bit like unity, that's where it comes from, a common unity. But really, we have the opportunity when we're community to be that gift to each other. Just going to ask if we can watch a short video clip of people that have had that experience.
If you're looking for evidence of why Safe Families for Children is needed, then simply look at the enormous pressures that today's families face, and look at the tens of thousands of children entering the care system every year. Millions of children are growing up in homes affected by poverty, or have parents struggling with illnesses, or they're experiencing daily scenes of domestic conflict, or they simply don't have somewhere they can call home because their life is lived between foster families and children's homes. At Safe Families, we're really concerned about kids like that. That's why we believe in being involved with families as early as possible to try to prevent a crisis becoming a meltdown.
Well, I met a guy and I was young and I totally fell in love with him. He was a lot older than me. He was in a kind of criminal kind of activities and stuff. And it got led me into that. Eventually, we got taking drugs. That's not the road I was meant to go on. My dad has not spoken to me in more than 13, 14 years because of this. We went a big spiral out of control, and then we had two little children who were basically not getting what they needed. So anyway, that led to them being in care. My son is 18 months, and Safe Families for Children got involved and absolutely came at a time when I really needed help.
I think Mum was going through a difficult patch. I mean, I think she's a lone parent who is has got a lot on her plate, and she has a young toddler and has other demands and needs to be away for a short period of time and just needs that safety net, just that security to be able to lift her child out of that situation, know that they're going to be safe and secure in a place for a short period of time, and able to focus on necessary things that she needed to do.
The two older boys, you know, are in care, and I've just won a big custody battle to get them home, so that's why I needed the help, and yeah, it's fantastic. The host family were perfect, and I did not have a problem with letting them keep him overnight, and I went away, I did what I needed to do, and I love them. They are very, very close to my heart. My son loves them.
It was great, and you know, a privilege for us to be able to have a small child in the house again, and you know, I hope an opportunity for Mum to have the space to do what she needed to do. Yeah.
We're a volunteer movement, and our volunteers come from local churches. We find that when church works the way that God intends it to, it resembles a wonderful extended family with a huge capacity to care, not just for its own members, but also for those hurting within its wider community. I'm inviting churches everywhere to join the Safe Families movement. I'd like local ministers to consider how a partnership with us could become a central part of their church's life. And I'd like anyone who thinks that they could have something to offer a family in crisis to consider joining our growing army of volunteers.
In just a moment, I'm going to invite Matt to come and say a few words, but just got another slide, I think. It'll wend its way. Just while we're waiting for the slide, there's also a table there, which is where we're going to chat with people at the end. Is that okay? I'll just come, because some of you can't see where the table is. It's here. Okay? Thought there would be a little bit of space so there isn't too much of a crush, but don't let the queue put you off. But basically, around a family that has a need for support, that we try and build a group of volunteers. We're not trying to get just one person linked with one other person so that there's all the pressure and that falling on one. We want to put a real network around so that we're removing and reducing that isolation. So we have our host families, people that can provide that overnight respite care. We have family friends that get involved through the day and sometimes even supporting the host families. And we also have specialized volunteers that typically have a professional background also involved in supporting both the family and the volunteers around that. And then finally, we've got people that are really good. Every church has got them. People that are good at getting stuff. Do you know what I mean? Yeah? Is there a nod? I've seen a few people, yeah? If families need something, or sometimes it's resourcing our volunteers. I don't want anybody here to have in their mind, do you know what? I'd love to do that, but I've got no stair gate. I haven't got a fire guard. I might need a high chair, a car seat. We can help hook you up with those things. We don't want it to be something that, you know, don't let that kind of thing rule you out. We want to build a network, and we want you to be a part of that. Will you join with us? It'd be great to talk. If we could just have the next slide. Just got a few issues that we've currently got live, and just idea of some of the things that we've got going on. Different situations. So we've got some teenage parents that are needing a bit of support. My wife's currently alongside a teen parent, and do you know what? She meets her as often as she can, because sometimes life can be a bit chaotic. But this girl has just got no confidence. She's a good young mum, but when dad just did off as soon as the pregnancy test came back positive, this girl's really been almost just lacking in confidence to get even out of the house. And she just needs somebody that'll get alongside and go and just spend a bit of time, be that friend that she hasn't got, talk through some of the things that, you know, she needs talking through. We've got people that are in hospital for short term. We had a referral just the week before last of a dad. Mum was going in for a C-section. They had a 2.5-year-old, and they wanted somebody to take the 2.5-year-old just for the day so dad could go and be at the birth. Some of them aren't, you know, long-term. Some of them are ongoing. But we've got a huge variety of opportunity, and that's why we need your huge variety of experience and personality to join with us. Okay, I'm going to hand over to Matt now, if I can. You might recognise Matt from the video.
I've only got one jacket as well. Now then, I just down here use these microphones. Yeah, next there's a handheld there. Hi, folks. Great to be with you. Brilliant job, John. Well done. And I want to just tell you briefly about the moment of opportunity that we've got here in North Tyneside. When I took this job on, which was back in November, I didn't quite know how big. I felt it was a big job, but I didn't quite know how big. But I didn't know a great deal about the existing spread and the reach of the organisation around the northeast of England, because that's the only patch that we're operating in at the moment. And so me and my wife and kids, as part of the deal of moving up from Manchester, because I do have this habit of kind of dragging my family around the country with me, the deal was this time that if we were going to come from Manchester up to the northeast, we were going to move to the seaside. And so that's how I swung that one. So we live just down the road in North Shields. And I discovered that other than the wonderful work that is being done by a couple that are here in your church already, and they just made a little cameo there, and a name is on the tip of my tongue, Glynis and Alan. Yeah, and I saw the Glynis just the other day, actually, and so it was unfortunate timing that they're away on holiday today and couldn't be here, because we'd probably hear a little bit from them. But other than the work that they're doing, there's not a tremendous amount going on in North Tyneside, and I'd love to change that. As a resident, as somebody who's beginning to develop a real love for this area and for the people here, many of whom we meet at the school gate in North Shields, it's apparent that there's problems here that need addressing. There's another slide that I just want to put up on the screen. I don't know if any of you are familiar with this place. Can you tell me where that is? It's the Cobalt. Is it anywhere in particular? Huh? It is. It's the Council. That's where North Tyneside have got one of their big office buildings. And I was there just the other day, meeting with the mayor, Norma, and also with the deputy chief executive and with the head of children's services. And we've been waiting for a while for this moment of opportunity. And this is what really is exciting to me, because I'm one of those people who really believes that through the church, we will see society transformed, and that we have to see a kind of almost a renegotiation of the role that the church plays in society, and that there's a moment now in our nation where that's happening, where the church, which over the past few decades has kind of retreated from civic life, it's more confidently stepping back up again and saying we can be part of some of the answers here. And perhaps as volunteers and as people who have compassion that comes from the love of Christ in our hearts, we can extend a kind of care to our communities that feels tangibly different than perhaps they might receive if they were just receiving the services that are offered through the council. Not that the services offered through the council are not good. Sometimes they can be very good. Sometimes they can be patchy. But we just believe there can be something lovely and different about the community finding its own solutions to its own problems. And so we're trying to grab hold of this with both hands, and over the summer I'll be continuing to work that through with the Deputy CEO and with the Head of Children's Services, because what's happening in other parts of the Northeast is we are getting lots and lots of referrals now coming through from social workers and from health visitors and from the managers of Sure Start Centres who all get involved in the lives of families. Often they may need to be prompted to go and do a little investigation. There's been some incident. They go to the home, they do an assessment, and they think, yeah, something's not quite right here. This family really needs help. But because of the cutbacks, because of the priorities that they're under, there's this kind of sort of threshold. And if it doesn't hit a certain level of being acutely serious, they're probably going to have to walk away, and that family's not going to get any help at all. It's just going to be left to continue to struggle. And of course, as good people, there may even be some social workers in the room here today, as good people with a conscience, they feel like we can't leave that family just to struggle on its own. We need to be able to link them with somebody, but who? And by calling the Safe Families for Children office and making a referral to us, we're effectively making it clear to them that Safe Families for Children is a network of volunteers from local churches, and so call us and we'll make a local introduction for that family. That's simply what we do. And then from our end, we manage the risk around that, because there's all the safeguarding, there's all the training and the vetting and the approval and all that kind of thing. But it's really just about linking up. You saw it on the video there, when we were able to link up Claire with Janet and John, and so that that problem could be resolved. So that's what it's all about, really. The next slide, please. What are you going to do next? I think we're coming close to wrapping up. It's getting on for about 11:30. Hopefully you receive one of these leaflets on your way in. And it's got a little tear-off flap on the inside there. As John said earlier, everybody here can play a part. The simplest thing that you can do, and all you need for this is an email address, so that might be 95% of the congregation. We send out a little once-a-month news bulletin, so hopefully everybody can fill that in. And you can receive a little bit of news and some prayer requests, and you can pray for us and pray with us. Another easy one on this list is the third one down, becoming a resource friend. John talked about people who can find stuff. On The Great Escape, they called it the scrounger. Anybody like The Great Escape? What a fantastic film. So if you're good at getting hold of stuff, physical goods that families might need, then you might want to tick that box and be a resource friend. And you'll get emails saying, we're looking for this, we're looking for that. But the top two on the list are really the key roles. People who are willing to be a host family or a family friend. And you can even be both, if you like. We don't insist that if somebody's going to be what we call a host family, that's somebody who extends hospitality in their own home to a child or to children that need a little break or whose parents can't look after them for a period for some reason. If you can do that, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love you to come over to the table and give us your details, and we'll help you on the journey towards that. Or if you can be a family friend, basically a befriender, somebody who can get along those alongside those families, help them, coach them through that difficult time until they can stand on their own two feet. So we'd love to hear from all of you. Hopefully we'll have a little steady stream coming over. I appreciate you. You might want to get a cup of tea first and then come and have a little chat to us. But we're just so thrilled that we've got a kind of what seems to be an emerging partnership here at Whitley Bay Baptist. And I'm certainly only just down the road, so I'd love to be able to pop back here again at some point. I know John will be very keen to help it with the follow-up too. So great to be with you this morning, and thanks again for the opportunity of being here.
Well, thank you very much, both of you. If you do have any spare jars at home, then we'll give you John's address afterwards where you can deliver them. His wife will be overjoyed. But thank you very much for coming and sharing that. You'll realise here's something to pray for or to actually get involved in. And a week on Tuesday evening, here, that's the... I'm thinking of a date. It's in the bulletin anyway. John's going to be here, in the small hall, and there'll be opportunity if anybody wants to come and hear more, ask any questions. You may have considered, thought about it for a week and actually thought, yeah, I do need to know more about that. Then he's going to be here and able to respond to that. And we'll have some coffee and biscuits and so on. So you can just come along. That will be in the small hall, week on Tuesday evening. Okay? It's low-key. It's not a formal meeting, but it's an opportunity to just come and find out more and see what you can do. But I'm sure John will be over by his table over there, and Matt's here as well, and both of them will be able to answer questions that you might have, I'm sure. Let's just pray together, and then we'll close with a song.